I want to begin this morning by asking you to do me a favor. I want you to use your imagination for just a couple of moments, and I want you to picture yourself standing in front of a mirror. As you picture yourself standing in front of a mirror, I'd like to ask you this question, though I desire no response from you. But what I'd like to ask you this morning is this, is if you were standing in front of the mirror, is it possible that you might see at least one thing about your appearance that you would like to change? If you were standing in front of that mirror and you were just being honest with yourself with that reflection of what was looking back at you, would you see at least one thing you'd like to change? I might be surprised, but here is what I would assume, is that every one of us would see at least one thing we'd like to be different. And so I don't know what it would be for you. I don't know what it would be for your spouse or for your friend. I know what some of those changes would be that I'd want to see in my life, in my appearance, in my presentation to others. And so let me ask you this. If somebody said to you, based on whatever it is you would like to change or see different, if somebody said to you, we can fix that, we can change that, we can alter that, we can correct that, would you be interested in listening to what that person had to say? I think most of us would at least be interested. You could change this, you could alter this, you could fix this, you could rearrange this, you could somehow make it right. I think all of us would be interested to hear what the person had to say. But I think for many of us, here is what would happen. Once we heard what would be required to produce the change we desire, I think most of us would walk away and say something like this. Never mind. Never mind. That'll be too costly. It's not worth it. That'll be too painful. And I'm just not that worried about it anymore. Well, that'll be too long of a process. And I'm just not interested in that. I think a lot of us, if we were honest, we would say something to this effect. We'd like to see something change. We'd like for something to be different, again, in our personal appearance. I'm interested to hear what might fix it. But then we would say, oh, it'll require that. Never mind. Now, I mention that for this reason this morning, because I think sometimes when we look into the Word of God, it begins to reveal things in our lives that we know need to change. When we look into the perfect Word of God, we see things that need to be altered, things that need to be corrected, things that need to be fixed. And I think sometimes what we do is we come to church because we're somewhat interested in how these changes could be made in our lives. Some of us aren't hearing this morning, and this is to your demise, really. But we come to church with this interest of, I wonder what could happen if. And we hear what has to happen to correct these things. And many times this is the response. Oh, well, if it requires that, then I'm not interested. That'll cost far more than I want to pay to correct that. That'll be too painful. And I'm just not that interested. The process would be too lengthy, and I don't want to give it that much time. I think if most of us were honest, I think many times when confronted by the truth of God's Word, We know it needs to change. We'd like for it to change. But we don't want it bad enough to do what needs to happen to make it change. Now, it may not be true in every area of our spiritual lives, but it's true in many areas of our spiritual lives. And this morning, as we look at these scriptures for the next few moments, what we're going to be looking at today, you may leave here this morning and you may say, well, that's not an issue of mine. That's not a struggle of mine. That's not anything that really needs to be addressed or corrected in my life. And that's fine if you can honestly say that before God. But for the rest of us, we'd have to admit that needs some work. We might have to say that needs a lot of work. The question is are we willing to do what it takes to see it change? And for many of us, it won't be worth it. I hope that's not true of you. But for some, you'll leave and you'll basically say this, it's not worth it. So what is it we're going to be looking at this morning? Well, I want us to begin by looking in James chapter 4, verse number 5. James is going to be asking a question in this particular verse. And in doing so, it's a question that has some difficulty associated with it by way of understanding. But I think there is something here for us to consider that I hope will be a challenge to every one of us to one degree or another. But he begins this question by asking this, do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain? So what James is going to do in this question is reference a principle that you see throughout the Scripture. And the question is this, do you think or do you suppose or are you of the opinion that Scripture teaches this for no real reason? Do you think Scripture just kind of throws this out there, but there's no real point to it, there's no real purpose to it, there's no real value to it? Do you really think the Scripture saith this in vain? And I hope that all of us would agree with this statement that we don't believe the Scripture says anything in vain, that there is a point and a purpose to everything the Scripture has for us. There is value to every bit of it. There is not one unimportant part of the Scripture. I hope that we would all be of that persuasion, of that conviction. So he says, do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain? Then this is the question he poses. The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Now I have this underlined in my Bible, this word us. Because in using the word us, here is what James did. He identified himself with his audience, that it was as much true or it was as much a reality for him as it could have been for anyone else. So James was not of the mindset and James was not of the persuasion that this was something only other people could struggle with. James realized it was something he could struggle with and probably had struggled with. So he says in verse number 5, do you think or do you suppose that there's no point in this, that Scripture just kind of teaches this, but for no real reason, that the Spirit that dwells within us lusteth to envy? What does that statement mean? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Well, I think most of us know this, that the Spirit is a reference to who we are internally. It is a reference to who we are internally, what we are on the inside. As I've said before, touched on in Sunday school this morning, sometimes who we are on the inside, we work very hard to conceal on the outside. So what somebody may see in our best state, what somebody may see when we are on our best behavior, may not be at all who we really are on the inside by way of our spirit. So he asked the question, do you think the Scripture just says this for no reason, that the Spirit that dwelleth or liveth in us lusteth to envy? What does it mean whenever he says lusteth to envy? Well, the word lust would mean this, to desire something, to want something, to want this to be so. So then the next part of the question is this, is what does it then mean to envy? Well, I think most of us, if you're like me, your thoughts would go toward this, the idea of jealousy. Being jealous of someone else for whatever reason, it could be for any number of reasons. So he asked the question, do you think or do you suppose that the Scripture saith in vain for no real reason that the Spirit that dwelleth in us desires and wants and longs for this envy or this jealousy? Now, I don't know about you, but here's what I would say of myself. I have certainly been guilty on many occasions, in many ways, of being envious of other people. It's not just in one area of my life where I have been envious of other people. I have been envious of other people. I have been jealous of other people in so many different areas of life. I would have to be honest and say I have struggled with envy and jealousy. I've not been exempt from that particular struggle. And I think most of us, if we would be honest, we could pinpoint some areas in our lives where we've been envious and jealous of someone else. It may not be in the realm of finances, it may not be in the realm of possessions, but it could be in the realm of so many other things. It could be health, it could be relationships, it could be opportunities, you name it. There are many areas in which a person can be envious. Now, while I would have to admit to envy and jealousy, and I would do so ashamedly but with no reservation, here is what I think I could say of myself, that I've never wanted to be jealous. You understand this? I have never lusted for jealousy. I have never longed for envy and jealousy of someone else. I have never said to myself, Kyle, get it together, be more jealous. That's not how I function. That's not how I operate. And I would suspect this morning that that's not how you function and that's not how you operate. I think most of us, when we would finally admit we're jealous of someone, that we're envious of someone for whatever reason, I think most of us would have to admit this, that it kind of snuck up on us. That we didn't even realize we were becoming jealous, that we were becoming envious, that we were becoming bitter, that they had whatever it was that we didn't have. And so I would say this morning, that I don't think that whenever James says, do you think the Scripture says in vain, that the Spirit dwelleth in us, that it lusteth to envy, I don't think what James is saying is, don't you realize that you and I, all we want to do is just be jealous and envious of others? I don't think that's what James is saying, because I don't think that's true of most people. So then you got to ask yourself, well then, what did James mean? So I tried to dive into this word envy a little bit more. This word envy is kind of interesting, that because along with the idea of jealousy, it also has this idea associated with it, to have ill will toward a person. To have ill will toward a person. I don't know about you, But that didn't clarify things a whole lot for me. So what does it mean to have ill will towards someone? It means this: to be antagonistic. What does it mean to be antagonistic? That word means to be combative, argumentative. The word ill will not only means to be antagonistic or combative, it also means this: to lack warmth, which would mean being cold towards someone. Not only does it mean to be antagonistic or combative, as I said, it means to lack warmth. It also means this in just a very simple manner. It means to be unfriendly. To just be unfriendly. So here's James, and he says, "Do you think the Scripture saith or teacheth in vain for no real reason? That the Spirit that dwelleth in us, this person that we are internally, that it's inside all of us, do you think the Scripture teaches in vain that what we struggle with at times is a desire to be antagonistic? A desire to be combative? A desire to lack warmth, and a desire many times to just not be friendly? Do you think the Scripture teaches that in vain?" Now, I don't know about you, but that makes a whole lot more sense to me than this idea that I just wake up some days and decide to be envious and jealous of others. You say, "Well, what do you mean exactly?" Consider this scenario and see if this makes sense. Has anyone in your life ever upset you to any extent at any point? It's probably happened at some point, right? Someone has upset you, someone has disturbed you, someone has offended you, someone has bothered you, someone has pushed your button. Now again, this may not be true of you, but I want to ask you, have you ever kind of made the determination in your mind that you were going to be antagonistic toward that person? That if they said it was hot, you were determined, "No, it's not, it's cold." Have you ever been antagonistic? If somebody says, "I'm hungry," you're not. And you won't be until they say they're not, and then you'll say you are. Just because you want to be combative in that relationship. If somebody says, "I like red," though red may be your favorite color, the last thing you'll admit is that you like red. All of a sudden, you're in love with blue. You understand what I'm saying by way of principle? Somebody at work may have one of the greatest ideas that could possibly have been come up with for that particular situation, but because you're not happy with them, all of a sudden you're not happy with any idea they could have come up with. You know, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't be acting that way towards your spouse, but because you're upset with your spouse right now, all of a sudden you're going to be antagonistic toward them, so it doesn't matter what they do is not good enough, it is not right, and you'll find something wrong with it. That's called being antagonistic, and let's just be honest, sometimes we choose to be antagonistic because we want to be antagonistic in that moment. It wouldn't matter what your church family said, because they've irritated you, they're ignorant and don't know good enough, and therefore you're not going to listen to anything they have to say. We can kind of plug that principle in anywhere, can't we? That spirit is within us. That we want to be antagonistic and combative at times. We're just argumentative, we're just kind of hard-headed, and we're going to make it difficult for whoever it is we're dealing with because they're on our bad side. And until we let them back on our good side, they'll not do anything good enough for us. But it also meant to lack warmth. So you may say, well, Brother Kyle, I'm just not combative. I just don't have it within me. I'm never antagonistic. I don't argue with anybody. Okay, lacking warmth. Have you ever been in a mindset or in a mental disposition where somebody said, how are you? And your response was, fine. Okay. What exactly does that mean? Hey, how are you doing? I'm sorry, I don't know how to interpret that growl. Hey, could we sit and visit like we used to sit and visit? Could we talk like we used to talk? No. Just not a lot of warmth and not a lot of friendliness. Could we be honest this morning and admit that we have probably all struggled at times not being as warm and friendly as we know we ought to be? You ever been there? Again, that person at work who has bothered you, who has offended you, who has upset you. I'm not going to be friendly to them. I'm not going to be warm toward them. I'm not going to do anything except kind of grunt and acknowledge their existence if I do that because I'm not happy with them. I might normally hold my wife's hand, but not today. I'll show her, I'll show him. No warmth coming from me. It might be hot inside the house, but I can be an ice cube. We've been there. Many of us, we've been there. That person at church that just kind of irritates you sometimes. I'm not going to be friendly to them. I'm not going to reach out to them. I'm not going to show any kindness to them. I'll just kind of do the least that's required of me, and I'll be able to feel good about myself, but they're not getting one thing more from me than the least that I have to give them. Is that not something that is within all of us? That desire to be cold toward a person, that desire to be unfriendly toward a person, that is something that really does reside within every one of us. Now, I want us to think about this morning, if you would please, that when you and I choose to be combative or antagonistic, because that's what we want to be, whenever you and I choose to be unfriendly or lack warmth, because that's what we want to be, because it is a choice, I want us to think about this and see if you would agree with me that when we choose to be antagonistic, unfriendly, and cold toward people, it's ugly. Not just in the sight of men who have to witness that, but it is ugly in the sight of God, because that's not how it's supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be antagonistic, and you're not supposed to be antagonistic. I'm not supposed to be unfriendly, you're not supposed to be unfriendly. I'm not supposed to be cold toward people, and you're not supposed to be cold toward people. So it's not just those of us who have to deal with it when we're in our mood that it's ugly too. It is also ugly to God, because it's not right and it's sin. So what needs to happen? Well, it needs to It needs to be changed, doesn't it? It needs to be fixed. It needs to be altered. So if you've ever been antagonistic, if you've ever been unfriendly, and if you've ever been cold toward people, I want us to know that there is a fix. There really is a solution to the struggle. But what is it? Well, notice what he says in verse number 6. Notice what he says there. He says in verse number 6, "But he giveth more grace. So he being God, he giveth or bestoweth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." Grace is a simple word with a lot of definitions associated with it. So there are many things that could be said about the word grace, but I want us to consider this, that in the definition of grace, you also have this, that which affords joy or pleasure, being a delight, a sweetness, a charm, a grace in our speech, or a loveliness. Think about that. It is grace that affords us this joy, this ability to be pleasurable, to be delightful, to be sweet, to have some charm, to have some grace in our speech, or to be lovely. Did you know that we don't have to be antagonistic? No matter the situation, we do not have to be combative. No matter the situation, we don't have to be unfriendly and unkind to people. No matter the situation, we do not have to be cold toward people. We can be pleasurable, we can be delightful, we can be sweet, we can be charming, we can be pleasurable, lovely. There are so many things that we can be. But you know how it's obtained? Very clearly, he said in verse number 6, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace, which is what we need when we've been wronged or feel as though we've been wronged. He giveth grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud. God keeps the proud at a distance. He stiff arms them. He does not let them get what it is they need. God resists the proud. What is a proud person? A proud person is the one who thinks too highly of themselves. They are far more concerned with themselves than they are anyone else or anything else in that moment and in that situation. So you know why some people who have been wronged, and you know why some people who have been offended, you know why they're antagonistic and why they're combative? It's because of their pride. It really is. It's because of their pride. The reason that nobody can do anything right in that moment is because their pride says, I'm the one who's got it all together, and this person or all these people, they're just too ignorant to know what they ought to be doing right now. It is their pride that causes them to be antagonistic and combative. You know why people are unfriendly and cold no matter what the situation is? You know why that happens? Because of their pride. Let's listen. It's because of their pride. They are so consumed with themselves in that moment that they don't have the ability to think of anyone else. It is all about them. So therefore, they will be unkind, they will be unfriendly, and they will be cold. Because bless God, I'm going to teach you something, brother or sister. I just want us to understand something this morning. That if we've ever been combative, if we've ever been unfriendly, and if we've ever been cold toward people, it's not because we had to be. It's because we wanted to be. We desired that. Because no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, you know what we're able to be if we want to be? We're able to be sweet. We're able to be kind. We're able to be charming. We're able to be pleasurable. But we have to be willing to humble ourselves and say, God, I don't want to be these things, even though that's exactly what my flesh wants me to be. If we are willing to humble ourselves, you know what God will do? God will give us the grace to be to people what our flesh would never want us to be. That's hard, isn't it? Man, when this person says something, it goes all over us. The last thing we're worried about in that moment is some grace. We're ready for a lot of things, but grace is not in that list. When this person says this, when this person does this, when this person acts this way, man, we are ready to unleash whatever it is we think we have to offer on them. And it's not pleasing, it's not pleasurable, it's not sweet, it's not charming. And I just want to remind us this morning that in the sight of God, that is an ugly, ugly, ugly spirit to have. So I don't know if I've been clear enough on this. I don't know if I've been transparent enough on this. If not, I'm just going to go ahead and say this. If James didn't speak to anyone else today, he spoke to me. You know why? My spirit wants to be combative sometimes. It just does. My spirit wants to be unkind sometimes. My spirit wants to be cold toward people sometimes. And I don't think I'm the only one. I think some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this morning, I'm just going to close with this question. I'm just going to ask you this morning, right now, if you had to be honest. Is there a person in your life that again, if you just had to be honest, you'd have to say, man, I've been way too antagonistic toward them. That person can't do anything right in my eyes right now. But it's not them as much as it is me. Is there anyone in your life that right now you'd have to admit you're just a little bit antagonistic toward? Is there anyone in your life that you'd have to admit, if you would just be honest before God, if you would just be honest, you would have to admit, well, I'm not very friendly to them. Or I only do as little as I feel like I have to soothe my own conscience. Is there anyone like that in your life? Would you have to be honest and say this? I know that there is at least one person, if not many people, that I am cold toward. I'm just going to make sure that they know that there's no warmth in this relationship, and I'm going to keep it nice and cool between us. Is there anyone like that in your life? Now, is that really the way it's supposed to be? No. So what do we need? We need grace. How do we get grace? We set aside our pride. We ask the Lord to help us to have some humility. And when we have the humility we're supposed to have, we get the grace that we need in that moment. You may not need this message this morning, but I bet by week's end, you'll have an opportunity to practice this at least once, if we choose to hold on to the message. You might not. But if we look at our spiritual lives, and we know that we struggle with this to any extent, we ought to be willing to say, God, help me. Because I don't want that in my life. Brother Kyle, it's painful. Brother Kyle, it's costly. Brother Kyle, that's something that'll take a lot of work. I know. Do we want it bad enough? Some will. Some will not. I hope that we are the ones who will want it bad enough to address it. Let's all stand this morning and bow our heads for prayer. Father, as I come to you this morning, I pray that you would help us to be honest. God, there's James admitting that within his own being, he had that spirit that caused him to want to show some ill will toward people, to be combative, to be unfriendly, to be unkind, to lack warmth. And God, no doubt there are some in here besides myself who can identify with that. And I don't care who we are, when we struggle with that, we need grace. God, in those moments, would you help us to be willing to humble ourselves before you and before the one who has wronged us, so that we might have the grace that we need. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.